Hello and welcome to Talk Chinese, where we teach you Chinese with ease. My name is Xiaolan. I'm going to teach you a useful phrase of Chinese every day. In this episode, we are going to talk about knowledge. And we have a very special guest, Richard Price from academia.edu. Hi, Richard. 你好.
你好. Hi, Xiaolan.
Yeah, 你好. You already said 你好. We know 你 is you, how is good. Since I've known you for many years and I really care about how you are, sometimes I say 你好吗?
你好吗?
你好吗? And that's a question mark at the end. Basically, I really want to know, hey, are you well? And then in this case, you can answer me, oh, 好, 很好, or 不好.
Oh, 很好.
Oh, 你很好. That means you are very well. Thank you. Nice to hear. Right, today we talk about knowledge. And I think you are a very suitable person to talk about it because you have a social network with 36 million active monthly users exchanging knowledge, and there's research on your social network, academia.edu. What type of knowledge is easier to communicate through your network?
You know, that's a really interesting question. So the basic idea of the site is that, you know, 20 years ago, much of the world's sort of premium knowledge was locked up behind paywalls. You know, unless you were part of the elites, you couldn't access it.
Mm-hmm.
And what academia is trying to do is sort of democratize access to this premium knowledge.
Yeah.
What we've noticed is that really regardless of the discipline and regardless of the paper, there is thirst for that elite knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. We have a feature where the reader of a paper can mm-hmm. leave a message to the author explaining why they're downloading this paper. And this guy, he was downloading a fairly technical paper in water conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm a farmer in the Sahara Desert. I'm downloading this paper to better look after my animals and me. So here he is on his mobile Android device in the Sahara downloading academic papers. You know, you really have an enormous diversity of people.
That's incredible. So not necessarily people who are there in the lab and writing very bizarre equations. It's really truly the knowledge is power. And this is the era when internet made it all possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the way we say knowledge in Chinese is 知识.
知识.
知识. 知 means to notify, to know. 知. And 识 basically just means knowledge. And it's originally from record, the ability to come up with certain record. And then now on its own, that means to be aware. And then, of course, as a noun, then it's used as knowledge. So Chinese people, they love bundling characters together to make it more concise in terms of meanings. So 知识 together, that means knowledge. 知 is the first tone. 知.
知.
知 is flat, first tone. 是 is the fourth tone. 是.
是.
Yeah, 是.
是.
Yeah, so 知识 together, knowledge. And it's quite a good thing to learn because if you go to China and then you can say, hey, my Chinese 知识不好, they will really be really impressed and say, oh gosh, you must be really good. Your Chinese 知识 must be very good because 知识 is quite a sophisticated word to say and also it's quite elegant. 知识.
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 不好.
知识很好. You must have very good 知识. And then when we say the intellect, those people who have lots of knowledge, we say 知识分子.
知识分子.
分子. 分子 is quite an interesting word to say because 分子 sounds like a little bit like a rebel.
I see.
If you say that in a calm, plain way, it's just a description of that type of people with profile. But then when you say that in a sarcastic way, sort of those snobbish people who think they're more intellectual than other people. So it depends on how you say that. Yeah, so when you say it, just mindful how you say it.
Right.
知识分子.
知识分子.
分子. And 分, that originally that means to divide. And then in this case, it's sort of like, oh, that type of people. And 子, original meaning as a boy. In this case, it is just used as a suffix. So it just means, okay, those type of people. 知识分子.
知识分子.
Yep. So on your network, academia.edu, there are 36 million of 知识分子. That's probably the biggest collection, right, of 知识分子 together.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's the largest.
Mm-hmm. And did you monitor the length of the time they use on a regular basis?
That's a great question. So there are sort of variety of different things people do on the platform. One is sharing, so just uploading when they've got a new paper, which is sort of once every few months. Another one is reading other people's papers, so just staying abreast of the field, you know, logging onto your newsfeed every day and just sort of keeping abreast of, you know, what's going on in the field and what papers are being shared. And then there's a kind of peer review functionality where you can actually collaborate and participate in what we call a session on someone's paper. So if you're working on a paper, Xiaolan, and you want feedback on the paper, then you can invite me to critique it. And there's this thing called a session on the site that lasts 20 days.
Right.
And a whole group of people, maybe 50 people, assembled to provide feedback on the paper.
Right. I have a burning question to ask you since you've been managing the biggest academia social network on the planet. Do you agree with Michael Pollan's quote, "What we know, we can know more than we can tell"?
I mean, that's an interesting quote. I think I probably do agree with that. I mean, I sort of think that's really like the essence of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophy is all about trying to say that we implicitly do know a lot of things. If you take the phrase free will, like, do we have free will?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of philosophers will start out trying to address that question by saying, well, okay, what is free will? We say that we have it, and we say that like a pen or a, you know, a car doesn't have free will, or a plant doesn't have free will, but humans do. But what do we actually mean by free will?
Yeah.
Before we ask whether we have it, what do we mean by it? And there's this idea that implicitly we do know what we mean,
mm-hmm.
but we can't tell people. We can't make it explicit without a lot of philosophical work. And so philosophy is a lot about trying to make explicit what you might call implicit knowledge.
Okay. Now you really sound like a philosopher.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I can sense what you say. And then we have so much knowledge floating around. And at the same time, we make some decisions without knowing how to articulate that.
Mm.
And I wonder, when we articulate everything we did, is that just for the comfort, for the sake of comfort? Or really, that's the truth? And that's the thing we don't know.
I think that's super interesting. Yeah, I mean, in business, for example, there's this notion of like a gut feel for something.
Yep.
And for many people, that is way more reliable. It's basically a form of knowledge.
It is. It is. But then as a young entrepreneur, if you go to your venture capital investors and you tell them, I don't know, it's from my gut feel, many of them may not be so impressed. But I think a lot of true experienced investors or entrepreneurs, they actually can make a very good judgment, but they can't articulate why.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd word because it's not like my gut knows anything. Like, it's my brain.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, thank you, Richard, for joining us. Today, we talk about knowledge, 知识. And then when we want to describe intellectual people, we say 知识分子. I hope you enjoy this episode. It's still a lot of fun, so please stay with us. And please don't forget to review us, rate us, and share what you have learned. Until next time, 再见.
再见.